praise God this morning of being reminded of what God can do. And as this title suggests, in this last part of this series, I want to talk about a song of strength. It may not appear that way in the text, but one of the things that I've discovered is that whenever you are faced with difficulty, when you are faced with challenges, when you are faced with things that will challenge every aspect of your life, there comes a moment when a declaration has to be made. Singing is a declaration. Preaching is a declaration. Testimony is a declaration. But we don't always know what we're declaring. We don't always know why we're declaring it. And we don't always anticipate as to why in this moment we have to say what we have to say. The song that is entitled A Song of Strength by Fred Hammond has a couple places that are as real for any human being as it gets. Because sometimes, you know, we sing songs and we never take the time to examine lyrics. That's why we have so much junk music. And when I say junk, I'm not talking about people's skills or abilities, but I'm talking about substance. And I'm not even talking about sacred music. I'm talking about all music. Because I do like more stuff than gospel and hymns. There's a lot of non-R&B that perpetrates being R&B. I'm a child of the hip-hop era. There's a whole lot of rap that ain't rap. Some of y'all are a part of that generation. Some of y'all should be shouting. Don't hide it. It's okay. I know some of y'all, when you hear "Nuck If You Buck," will lose it like you do in church. It's okay. See, don't worry. Don't worry. Your secret is not safe with me. But Song of Strength by Fred Hammond has two verses that stick out. What do you do when your life, when the life you've planned is shattered? What do you say when the one you love is gone? How do you live? Seems like no hope for tomorrow. Pain doesn't care where you live or who you are. Lord, you see my life is broken and I don't know what to do. While I'm in this change, help me remain. I will count on you. When I can't see, I know you'll guide. When I cry out, I know you feel. Now I'm praying, I know you hear. I'm praying for healing, I know you will. I could go through the whole song and do a whole exegesis on the song, but there are moments in life when we have to go out into the world, and because we know Jesus and because people have misunderstandings about what it means to be a believer, we are viewed in a position where we are supposed to be strong all the time. We go out and people look upon us, even if it's not because we're believers, but because of their experiences with us. They have this expectation that you are supposed to be strong all the time. Because everything they've ever witnessed exemplifies strength. And what they don't understand is that we are like Paul, where we understand that there's a whole lot of stuff we can't handle. And even when we think we can, sometimes we can't. And rather than be arrogant and believe that we can do it all on our own, we recognize that God's strength is perfected in our weakness. In other words, what you see is not a reflection of what I feel, but it is a reflection of the God that lives within me. Truthfully, there are many weeks when I get up here and I stand in front of folk and I'm terrified. Not because I'm afraid of folk, but because I go through the motions of, did I study enough? Amen. I don't care how prepared I am. Amen. Did I look enough? Amen. Did I hear God enough? Yes. Am I really talking about what God wants me to talk about? Yes. And then suddenly God takes over. Because there's no way in the world that some of the things that have come out of my mouth were even in my mind to begin with. All right. Strength is not going to always be measured by our bar that we set for what strength is. As a matter of fact, we need to tear down some myths. See, being strong does not mean that you negate what you deal with internally. It does not mean that you deny that you are going through trouble. It does not mean that you suddenly get up in front of folk and tell them that all is well, knowing that you want to cry your eyes out and wish somebody would hand you some tissue. Strength is not getting up on a Sunday morning, showing up to put on a front for people, and then leaving out of here without things changing in your life. Strength is not going around trying to prove to folk that you are better off than you really are. Strength, true strength, is acknowledging the fact that if God doesn't do it, it can't be done. That if God does not show up for me and help me, it ain't gonna happen. That if God does not meet me at the point of my need, life will overtake my existence. And the fact of the matter is, if we're going to ever demonstrate real strength in the midst of a world that is constantly broken, we got to begin to understand and begin to acknowledge the fact that, yes, we are broken people, but we can only be fixed by a perfect God. And when I talk about God's perfection, I'm talking about the fact that no matter what we face, God is so perfect that in spite of our brokenness, he can take every bit of a little piece, put it back together again, even while we don't even feel him working. And all of a sudden, we're able to stand tall. And in the midst of all that we don't understand, God can make a way out of no way and use us to do stuff that seems impossible. That is why that even when you look at me or you look at anybody else, when you see something that seems supernatural, it's because it is. Because greater is he. I wish I had a church. Greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. So when I get up here and preach and I shout, it's not because I'm always in the best mood. When I get up here and I holler unto heaven, it's not always because I'm in the best state of mind, but it's because I know for a fact that if God does not show up for me, it ain't gonna happen. If preaching's gonna happen, the Lord's gotta show up. If teaching's gonna happen, God's gotta show up. If I'm gonna be a good husband and a good father, then God's gotta show up. If I'm gonna be a good pastor, God's gotta show up. If you're gonna be a good believer, God's gotta show up. If you're gonna be the reflection of the church of the living God, God has got to show up. And if God don't show up, you can forget about it. Sometimes The moment comes when unusual strength has to be demonstrated in moments that don't make sense. That's why I love this story, because it took me all these years to become an adult to read this story right. Because here's the problem. Here's the problem with finding out stuff when you get older. You find out stuff when you get older, and then you look back at what you were taught, and you almost get mad. Because you say to yourself, if I would have known this then, you know what I'm talking about? Now, a few years ago, I read this story for the first time in a way I never read it. And I want to share it with you because this is not the first time I've preached from this text. But this may be the first time that some of y'all have ever heard that the miracle of the story was not in the furnace. Let me tell you the story again, so you understand what strength really looks like. So you got these three brothers, you got Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. Those are their actual names. Because we always call them by their slave name, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because you realize that when you're put into slavery, that which tries to enslave you tries to change your disposition and your name and your destiny, right? You know, that's how slavery works. Slavery works this way. It tries to change your destiny by changing your name. That's why you need to take this to a whole bunch of people that ain't here that got kids or are going to have kids. That's why you got to take some time to think about how you name your children. My name, Charles Walter Ferguson, means man of strength and vigor who leads soldiers to war. That's what my name means. Which basically tells you that my destiny in life is to train up and lead soldiers to fight. So my destiny is to always be in a fight and train up folk to fight. So pastoring is right up my alley. My mother did not waste time and try to come up with some made up stuff that has no meaning. I am named, my first and middle name come from my grandfather. My son was named differently. Man of strength and vigor who leads worship. Jeremiah. He has a different destiny than mine. But he has what? Strength and power that encompasses his destiny. So slavery will try to change your destiny and your purpose by trying to change your name. That's what happened. So now you got these three brothers who was hanging out with Daniel when they first got enslaved. You remember the four of them decided in the beginning, even though they were enslaved because of Babylonian occupation, they made a conscious decision as teenagers not to forget about where they came from. They maintained the way that they ate. They maintained the way that they worshiped. They maintained everything that they learned in their early years. And it served them well because now all four of them ascended to places of high position within the kingdom that had them enslaved. But the funny thing is, they couldn't have been too enslaved because there came a moment when these brothers were challenged in their worship. Nebuchadnezzar saw that his kingdom was flourishing, decided to build a wall. Build an idol of himself. Freudian slip, I'm sorry. And he decided to build this monument unto his ego. And he said that at a certain point in the day, everybody had to stop what they were doing, bow down to this image of himself. And one day, as everybody else was selling out, these three brothers decided they were going to get the heck out before they sold out. They heard all the noise, they knew the decree, and they didn't bow down. You might as well say they took a knee. I don't know why all this stuff is coming up, but maybe. Maybe you're going to gather something from this. So they took a knee in the midst of all this foolishness by standing up against the orders of their employer. Y'all missing this stuff. And when they decided not to do what their employer said, somebody decided to snitch. Because here's the funny thing. If you worshiping, don't you think that you got all your attention on that which you're worshiping? There's another nugget. When you worship God, stop worrying about what other folk are doing. Moving on. Somebody saw that they weren't bowing down and they decided to snitch and tell Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was caught in a quandary because these three brothers were individuals that were enhancing the viability of his kingdom. And he had to look at them and say, I don't understand. I gave you good jobs. You getting all kind of money. Don't you know that I have the ability to take you out? And they looked at him and they said, we understand what you think you are. And we understand what you can do within this realm. But we still ain't bowing down and we ain't kissing the ring because that ain't what we about. And then he got a little more upset and said, once again, I could kill you because I'll consider this treason. And they looked back and said, you know what? Cool. You do what you got to do. We ain't got no more to say to you in this matter. We ain't going out like this. You can throw us in the furnace. You can do what you want. We believe that God can deliver us. Watch this, though. But if not, if he don't do it, still ain't changing our minds. Can I tell you how much you got to have within you to be able to look an entity in the face that has some level of influence over your life to be able to look back and say, you know what? Either way, it's going to be fine. You can ruin my earthly existence. You can ruin my credit. You can ruin whatever you think you're going to ruin. But in this regard, I will make it either way. I'm still not bowing down to you. At best, you're just a resource to give me because God supplies all my needs. I am not under the delusion that you are the reason that I'm here. I'm here because God said so. And I'm in this spot because God permitted it to be so. So guess what? If God made it so in the midst of being occupied, I know that God can deliver me from your hands. But if you're going to kill me, if you're going to do all this, I don't lose my belief because you can do whatever and God don't show up. That just means that everything that he promised me, I'm getting ready to get on the other side. So either way, it's a win-win situation. So now here comes the miracle. I don't know if I'm going to get to these points. Maybe you just need to hear this. Here's the miracle. Nebuchadnezzar gets hot, turns up the heat on the furnace, gets those brothers bound. They got all these clothes on in the desert, binds them up hand and foot. They can't do nothing. And gets the strongest guys he has to throw them in. Do you know where the miracle is? As they were thrown in, the ones that threw them in died from the backlash. Stay with me. The text says they were thrown in and they fell into the floor of the furnace. But at the same time, the ones that threw them in died from the heat. Miss it again. Because everybody should shout. God will allow you moments when life will try to prove its point. But then God will show up and insulate you
to go into stuff that life says you can't face. And as you go into it, everything that tried to destroy you will die behind it. And God will keep his word and make you to stand up in the midst of things meant to destroy you. Strength is not proving to me that you're strong. Strength is when you lean on something greater than yourself. And they were leaning and depending on God, not even certain if God was going to show up. Listen to what they said again. We believe God will deliver. And then they said, but if he doesn't. Which means they were confident in God no matter what. And they were resolute in not going back. We need to begin to demonstrate supernatural strength. We need to stop being so full of ourselves and be more full of God. We need to start showing people real strength. Real strength is not standing there and hiding the stuff. It's being in the moment knowing God can, God is able, believing God will, and trusting even if God doesn't do what we want. Folk are tired of fake strong people. When you go to a gym, I'm going to get to these points and I'll be finished in a minute. When you go to a gym, when I was playing football, you know, we had to go weight room, all that stuff. I have never been, even in my best of athletic shape, I was never much to look at. I wasn't going to be, you know, Mr. Olympia. But I knew, compared to some of my counterparts who had all the good-looking muscles, I was still stronger than most of them. Reverend, what are you talking about? Everybody with the sculpted stuff doesn't mean they have power. Doesn't mean that they're strong. They do enough repetitions to cut a thing. It doesn't mean that they have the ability to handle a thing. So you ain't got to look like other folk to prove that you got some strength. I used to be able to do all kinds of freakishly strong things, and I didn't look like my counterparts because I was more concerned as a football player, as offensive lineman, about having what the strength to move people rather than having the look. In the position I played, I needed the strength to move people. I did not need the look of a person that appeared strong. And if you have real strength, sometimes you're not going to look like you really are. Which means that God can really use you. Because you're not trying to prove to somebody that you already got it all together. Can I help somebody today? I guess this is the way it's going to go. Let me help some of y'all. Stop trying to prove to us what ain't real. You need to empty yourself so that God can get up in there and give you something that you would be able to move some stuff. When you got real strength going on, when God gives you unusual strength, yes, sir. God does it for a reason. Yes, sir. Yes. How does God demonstrate strength through our witness? One, he gives us a platform to affirm our commitment all the way to God. Here's the platform. Grants, here's the platform. They didn't bow down during pagan worship. Right? Somebody snitched on them because they already didn't like them. Folk didn't like them because they weren't Babylonians to begin with. So they got a job that they felt somebody else should have had, but they were actually qualified for. So why not do what you can to get rid of them, right? So they snitch on them. Then they're brought before the king, who they go to every day because they were handling finances and other things in the operation of the kingdom. And they appealed to Nebuchadnezzar's ego.
Yes, they did.
Not his reason, but his ego. Yes. They ain't bow down to you, man. Now, if I'm a smart businessman, even if I don't believe what you believe, I should come back and say, well, they making me money, so you need to go on somewhere. But his ego was so inflated that he couldn't have good reason. And he approached it through his ego and said, don't you know that I can get rid of you? That's when Nebuchadnezzar took the position of God. Be careful about people who try to get in position of God. Because that's the moment when you should be able to step up to the platform. I didn't learn that years ago. I used to be afraid of what people would do to me and how it would harm the people I cared about. But if I had good sense back then, like I hope I have now, I would have been able to look back and say, you can do what you want, but either way, I'm going to be all right. Everybody has that moment when they've sold out. Confess it. It's good for your soul. Everybody has sold out once or twice. That's why God still redeems.
Yes.
The platform was now, what you going to do? And they stepped up, and I'm willing to believe they might have had a little trembling in their voice. But they said, you done come to deal with my faith? Let me tell you something. The God that kept us then, he going to keep us now. You ain't the reason we're prospering in a foreign land. God is the reason we're prospering in a foreign land. God will show up. But even if he don't show up, we're going to stand on this and we're going to be all right. Sometimes the platform comes where you just have to say to yourself, it's time to either step all the way up and just say, God, have your way.
Yes.
Or admit to yourself, you've been lying for a long time about what you think about how God works in your life. Yes, this is strong. Because there comes a crossroads. You either believe God or you don't. And here it is. Even if you say you believe God and you're trembling, that's still better than lying to yourself and saying, yeah, I believe God, but I'm still going to do it myself. The platform was set. They stepped up and they said, the same God that kept us when we were teenagers, when you first came for us, is going to be the same one that's going to keep us now. Take the platform. I know you may be an introvert, but take the platform. You may be an extrovert. Show enough, take the platform. Do whatever you got to do, but let God work in you in such a way that somebody will see that some things in life matter a whole lot more than this other stuff that people keep on saying matters most. Number two, God demonstrates strength through our witness by allowing us to watch our enemies be consumed by their own devices. Can I tell you something? For the for the petty committee in the room. I'm about to give y'all something. Can I tell you something? God sometimes is petty. And it's a good thing. And somebody gonna be like, what? No. Let me tell you something. Sometimes God will allow you a petty moment. But not petty like you think. Watch this. What did I just say? They were thrown in and they landed in the furnace. But those that threw them in. They were thrown in. No, I'm doing this for a reason. They were thrown in, right? And the text says they landed in the furnace. So as they were thrown in, the fire consumed what threw them in. And they landed in the furnace intact. You missed it again. They were thrown in. So logic says if the people that threw them in died, they should have died on impact as being thrown in. Right? If I get killed by a backdraft, everything in the backdraft should be what? Incinerated. God is petty enough to allow you to go into a thing insulated and show you what thing was trying to take you out is still subject to his justice. So don't worry about what's coming at you. Because I want to tell you today that if you have landed in the furnace, shout. Because you've just got a front row seat to watching that which tried to take you out go down. I love it when God gives you a front row seat. Because God is good petty. That's what I'll call it. Can I prove it through the word? He will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. God will not allow you to go through this without watching other stuff suffer. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. It doesn't mean the weapon will not be formed. It means that it won't work. Why? Because the Bible says it's the heritage of the servants of the Lord. So why are you walking around as if you ain't got no hope? You're insulated and protected. I wish I was around some folk that understood what insulation and protection look like. Keeping you from danger, seen and unseen. Keeping you from folk that mean you no good. Keeping you from things that should have took you out and you're still standing. That is God giving you a front seat. Even if you ain't shouting with me, I'm shouting for myself. God will give you a front seat. And watch as that other stuff goes down, down, down. Last thing, God grants us peace in the midst of chaos. And when they got up in the furnace, when they got up in the furnace, no longer bowed head and foot, Nebuchadnezzar looked in and he's like, wait a minute, didn't we throw in three? They looked back at him and said, yeah, we threw in three. He looked in again and said, I see another. I see four. We threw in three, but I see four. And it looks like the Son of God. Which means that God may not deliver you from being thrown into the thing. God may not even come through yet once you're in the thing. But God will step in and be with you in the midst of the thing. Because watch this one. Thank you, Jesus. Watch this. Because eventually, while you're thriving in it, God will show up in such a way that even your enemies have to be the conduit to bring you out of the thing. You missed that. I wish I... So folk that don't even want to bless you will have no alternative but to bless you. Because how can you not bless somebody that endured something that even they couldn't endure? How can you not shout about how God will move in a way where he'll allow you to thrive in the midst of being in the fire? There's no way that they're going to keep on hating on you, because they got no alternative but to see that it's not you that's at work, but it's the God in me. Didn't we throw in three? Didn't we do everything we could to cause chaos? Well, I see a four. This can't be real. This can't be happening. This can't be happening. I had them dead to rights. And Nebuchadnezzar said, tear down that thing. For there is no God like the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That boy got delivered from his own ego. You want to know what power looks like?
Yes, sir.
Let an egomaniac see God work right before his eyes and know that he did everything he could. And it didn't work. That's why I don't worry about the country no more reading this text. Because eventually, even the most egomaniacal person will have to see that at the name of Jesus, every, even if you don't want to, every knee. You complaining about who's kneeling now. But when you see God work, every knee gonna bow, and every tongue is going to have to confess. I ain't worried, because I know it ain't me. I ain't worried about what's going on in my life right now in this moment, because I hold on to the truth that God will bring me through. You may not like all my shouting and hollering from time to time, but let me tell you something. One day you're going to be in my spot, and you're going to be able to get up and tell somebody, I was in that furnace and I should have been dead and gone, but God stepped in and cooled off the flames and gave AC to a furnace that I wouldn't have been able to handle. So I declare unto you, I'm not strong because I'm strong. I'm strong because God is greater than me. I can stand up here today and let you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is the greatest and the best thing that ever happened to me. And I'm grateful for all that the Lord has and will do.